So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
All right, so let's take a look at what we're going to do with people to help them to balance their adrenals.
I mean, easier said than done, but chill out. So chilling out, just not taking everything so freaking seriously, right? Everything is like, you can't change it. Don't fret about the things you can't change. You know, I've been trying to teach that to my kids, and it's a hard one to learn. It's taken me 50-something years to get to this point. And I'm hoping to get you guys there sooner, some of you who are younger than me. De-stress. You know, activity, specific stuff, going out for walks, going out. Sometimes, some days I'll just stick my feet in the pool. You know, I don't have time to go for a swim. Or I stick my feet in the bathtub, put some water in there, and that calms me down. The water does something, and it just brings the energy down. Have activities that you can do, and teach your clients this. Teach them. Model it for them. If you model that you get freaked out every time something bad happens, they're going to stay in their patterns. So de-stress activities, fun is good for that. Having a good laugh, listening to a tape, doing a crossword puzzle. I used to do these little, I haven't done them in a while, but they're really de-stressful. I should get doing it again. There were these little math puzzles. Some of you may not like math, so you wouldn't like them, but they were like these little things you had to make the numbers add up across and down and all. And I could just let go. You know, I'd just go and let go of everything that was, whatever was bothering me. So actions that you can do. Movement. You know, when you are under stress, this is something you got to teach people. The more stressed you are, the more you need to move. Because when you're stressed, you do cortisol. Cortisol releases the sugars from the storage. It actually takes amino acids, the branched chain amino acids from your muscles and turns them into glucose. So your insulin levels go up, and then you sit at your desk. You don't go running away from a tiger. So move. If you're going to get stressed out, move. Get up and do squats. Do some push-ups. Do some sit-ups. Do some bursts. Run up and down the street. Do it because that's important. And you'll be surprised at what you did. You try it first and then start teaching this stuff to people. Of course, sleep, we know that. We know that's important. We know the diet. We'll go into the nutrients and the herbs. And then bioidentical hormones are other things, and we'll go into that in a bit as to when do you know when you need to do some hormones for your adrenals or your thyroid. I wanted to show you, you've seen this before, where are your emotions lying? Are they high intensity all the time? You're burning yourself out if so. Your adrenals are going to burn out. Too much adrenaline, too much high heartbeat, you're going to get into palpitations. So even positive high intensity emotions, if they predominate, like, you know, roller coasters, if you went on roller coasters all day long, you're having fun, but boy, that's an adrenaline rush. Adrenaline rushes can be fun, but they should be short-lived. And then you've got the low intensity, the positive and the negative emotions. And they each have their own set of neurotransmitters or hormones that they create. So those high intensity, whether they're positive or negative, shoot out a lot of adrenaline. And that can wear you down. And also something that you get when you do a lot of adrenaline is you get the adrenaline resistance. Right? We've talked about insulin resistance, and we've talked about thyroid resistance. There's also adrenaline resistance. We're talking about leptin resistance. Every hormone that has receptors can become resistant. And you get adrenaline resistant when you are in these constant high intensity moments. And the fat cells actually stop responding to the adrenaline. The fat cell, because adrenaline is what gets out there. As soon as it gets released, it starts to burn some of that belly fat. But it's short-lived. It's not going to do you much good. But when it gets thwarted, when those receptors get stuck and you can't do it anymore, then it's not doing you any good. So you have DHEA on the positive emotion side, cortisol on the negative emotion side. So you want to be moving yourself more towards the positive side and sort of towards the middle, you know, up and down with some high peaks of intensity. But the low intensity positive emotions, yes, meditation, right? Low intensity positive. It's just relaxed and chilled out. But the low intensity negative emotion, that's the worst, the powerlessness. Right? Anger and rage are high intensity negatives. So I would have you encourage people to look through their day. You know, go through your day and kind of jot down where you're finding yourself and see if you can shift it to a more empowering and positive aspect. So the adrenal recharge actions, in summary, of course, the stress management, whether it's meditation, yoga, heart math, or appreciation. I love doing the heart math. I find that I can do it whenever, wherever. Meditation, I used to get stressed out about meditation when I tried to do it on a regular basis because I couldn't sit still. My mind was racing, but I couldn't find the time. You know, I had all these kids running around the house, my kids and their friends and all, and I'm trying to find a quiet time to meditate. But the heart math I can do in 30 seconds, and I can do it all throughout the day. So it works for me. Do I meditate? Sure. Every now and then I meditate. I do it for short periods of time. I don't ever do hour-long meditations. Not that say that it's bad. I think it's great. It's just not for me. So it's finding for you and then helping your client find for them what their stress management things are. But don't just jump right in into the food and the supplements and give them a list of stuff to take if you're not sitting down and having a heart-to-heart about their stress level and how they're going to learn to manage it. Of course, we know a high green mineral-rich, mineral and vitamin-rich diet, so that's green foods and sea vegetables and nettles and things like that that are really rich in nutrients and minerals. And your vitamin C-rich foods. Your adrenals use more vitamin C than any other part of your body. They use a lot of vitamin C. And when they're depleted, your vitamin C gets low, which means you have other signs of vitamin C deficiency. You get things like, you know, poor wound repair, poor immune system, getting sick all the time. You need the vitamin C, so replenishing it. I love to do it with whole food supplements like goji and acai and pomegranate and kamu and greens and lots of colorful fruits and veggies. But a lot of times people are so depleted that I need to give them that quick fix. So I get them the synthetic, the regular ascorbic acid. The liposomal C, that may be a good alternative. I use the PERC activated, fully reduced ascorbate, mineral ascorbate. And we do the vitamin C flush. I like to get people on as whatever their bowels will tolerate. It's amazing. I did this. I gave somebody, she came to my potluck and she was talking about her allergies and she was sniffling and I said, try a vitamin C flush. And so I sent her the vitamin C flush and she said within 2 days, all of her symptoms were gone. It works, you know, so it helps to counteract the negative effects of stress. As do the activated forms of B vitamins. So what do I mean by activated forms? Well, there's certain forms that are the cheap forms that are in everything. But a lot of times your body can't activate them. So riboflavin 5-phosphate is the activated form of riboflavin. Pyridoxal 5-phosphate is the activated form of B6. Methyl tetrahydrofolic acid, 5-methyl tetrahydrofolic acid, that's the activated form, methylated form. Same thing with the B12, methyl B12. So the activated forms of the B vitamins, especially if they're liquid, they will get into your system quicker. So the more you can get people doing liquids or powders dissolved in liquid, the better it's going to be. And if you can get them drinking some kind of drink every day that combines a bunch of the nutrients and a bunch of the herbs and stuff in it, you just get that to be their drink. You help them to be able to make it taste good so they look forward to it. And you're halfway there. So zinc, the other minerals, it's great to test them, get the test kits, and test to see your status. Of course, antioxidants are important for everything, for all the thyroid things, for all the adrenals, because we're burning them, especially with the adrenals, because that high levels of cortisol produces a lot of oxidative byproducts. And finally, I have adaptogenic herbs on the list. And adaptogenic herbs are those that are, they're not medicinal herbs, they bring balance. And so arose, and Hoshuwu is considered an adaptogen. The mushrooms are considered adaptogens. Ashwagandha, licorice is getting to be on the side of more medicinal because you have to be careful of the blood pressure. So I wouldn't consider licorice as much of an adaptogen as I would an adrenal renourishing supplement. What do we need for the adrenal glands? Well, the vitamins. Like I said, vitamin C. But the B vitamins, especially B6 and B5 pantothenic acid. And really, jot this number down. You really want to be doing 500 milligrams of pantothenic acid 3 times a day when somebody's really depleted. And you can do that for several weeks. And that's going to help with the conversion of the cholesterol into the pregnenolone. And it's going to help with that whole pathway. B2 and B6 are, B3 are important, niacin as well as vitamin E. But the critical ones, I would say, if somebody's limited and they only want to do two, vitamin C and pantothenic acid should be the ones for adrenals, for rebuilding them. On the trace mineral end, you've got manganese, iodine, selenium, chromium, zinc, potassium. They're all important. The potassium helps to regulate the acid-base balance, so that's important. Antioxidants, you've got bioflavonoids, you've also got glutathione, SOD. I'm just trying to give you a general picture, and we'll go into a little bit more detail on the charts. Amino acids, tyrosine is important, as Yvette was pointing out in the chat before we lost it, that the tyrosine is critical. It's critical for adrenal health. It's also critical for thyroid health. So when you are under a lot of stress and you're making a lot of adrenaline, you're using up your tyrosine stores. And tyrosine is also needed to make dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that calms you down and gives you motivation. People who get low in the dopamine lose their motivation, lose their drive, lose their joy in life. And in extreme cases, it goes towards Parkinson's. So even before Parkinson's, you can have those little things like tremors and all. So when you're using up the tyrosine to make more norepinephrine, you're stealing it away from making thyroid hormones. So naturally, these are connected, very big. And then the phosphatidylserine because it calms the cortisol down. So some of the nourishing foods, the green leafies are super important. If you're not a vegetarian and you're doing fish, fish is a great source of omega-3s, as is algae, right? So be realistic about it. Sea vegetables, lots of sea vegetables, low glycemic fruits. Why low glycemic? Because your adrenals are shot, you have blood sugar problems. And until you get your adrenals restored, you're going to continue to have blood sugar problems. So stick with the low glycemic foods. The sunflower lecithin to help you to make acetylcholine, really important. The garlic and onions for the sulfur and for the quercetin, which is another anti-inflammatory. Mushrooms you can't say enough about. They're just so good and tonic and balancing unless you have an allergy to them, in which case you stay away from them. But I love the shiitakes and maitakes and reishis and cordyceps and chaga. And for some reason, cordyceps has become my favorite lately. I put it in everything. And as I was reading about the benefits of cordyceps, I realized that the cordyceps is one that provides like some extra stamina. And I was needing extra stamina because I've been doing so much and trying to keep up with a lot of stuff. I gravitate towards cordyceps. It just tastes so good to me. And probiotics and prebiotic rich foods are great for everything, really. You really need to have that core gut established. The question comes up when you're working with somebody, do you work on their adrenals first or their gut first? And maybe you work on a little bit of each, right? Because the gut can be putting so much strain on the adrenals, but the adrenals are putting strain on the gut. It's affecting the gut. So it's really a matter of finding balance. I've been making cashew yogurt lately, and it's just cashews and water and probiotics, and it's very delicious. After 24 hours, it's tart and tangy. But there's so much you could do to feed your gut, so much you could do, and it makes a world of difference. So these are the things critically that nourishing them. But you don't want to restrict salt. Salt is critical for the adrenals because as a result of the adrenal fatigue, the aldosterone shifts, and then your sodium-potassium balance in the pump shifts. Same stuff we talk about for thyroid, we talk about it for adrenals, we talk about it for blood sugar, and we talk about it for detoxification. Stay away from food within 3 hours of bedtime. Give yourself that 3 hours of break so that you can cleanse and detoxify overnight, you can burn fat rather than store fat, and you can wake up more refreshed. May not be the first time you do it. It may not be the second time, but let people know they need to be consistent with it. And as their body gets caught up in the sleep debt, everything will shift. starting your day with the green protein, low-carb, moderate protein, and fat breakfast with omega-3 fats. I always like to start the day with omega-3s, whether it's chia or hemp milk or something that has omega-3s in it. It could be a granola with walnuts and hemp seeds in it. But green with omega-3s. So my favorite way to start the day is some sort of green drink, whether it's a powdered green mix or juice or smoothie, depending on how much time I have. Added protein to that. It could be some hemp protein powder. It could be some hemp seeds themselves ground up and added. Great source of protein. A number of ways that you can get the extra protein, but the greens give you the protein. Just make sure people are aware of that. And then make sure you do have fat with your breakfast. And I always combine coconut with my omega-3s to help with the conversion. But if your meal is balanced, lowish on the carbs, moderate on the fat and protein, it's going to hold you. Protein satiates, so does fat, but fat in the absence of protein does not. Fat in the absence of protein there's not enough room. So if you do all this with a huge amount of greens, so you also have the fiber and the filling, it works. But if you just have a high fat protein breakfast without all that extra fiber, you're not going to feel full. And they're going to start to overeat more. Gluten-free is mandatory for the adrenals as well as the thyroid. More and more, it's so encouraging. The more I speak to people in different walks of life about how they're talking to people about gluten-free, and it's phenomenal. I'm really excited about it because it makes so much of a difference. Made so much of a difference for me and for so many people that I work with. Of course, the eliminate caffeine. It's a stimulant, but sometimes people can't get them off of caffeine right away. Because that's their crutch. You have to do some things to help them to improve their energy before you take away their caffeine. Seriously, maybe you'll get them to be able to move from black coffee to green tea or matcha tea or any of the other, like the white tea or something along those lines. But get them moving away from that dark coffee. The green coffee beans are becoming like the next newest fad. I haven't researched that. Again, I just don't research fads. It's usually a gimmick. Work with your people and get them to be motivated, right? So if you can give them some things, if you can get them to do some more greens and protein in the morning and add some herbs that will help them to balance and get them on the vitamin C, then you can start to work them off of the caffeine. The alcohol, definitely should be working them off of the alcohol because it's definitely a stress on the system. And it's going to feed yeast. And most people with candida, with adrenal problems also have candida problems. It just seems to be that way. Okay? So the blood sugar balance and all. Here's an adrenal balancing breakfast, green smoothie, green juice, green powder, protein powder, chia pudding, help, milkshake, dehydrated grain-free bread, or a nice gluten-free and grain-free granola. Which you can make it, with a dehydrator if you have, and you can chop up some nuts and seeds and things like that and put it in there. For some reason, I don't know why, I have not been in the mood for salad over the last few days. It just has been turning me off. But what I did yesterday was I got a big box of the romaine hearts, and I had a big bowl of dip. And I put a bunch of herbs and stuff in my dip. And by the way, I sneak some adaptogens in my dips. I put the mushroom powders, or I'll sneak a little ashwagandha, whatever I can do to just kind of give myself throughout the day this nourishment to my glands. And so I just sat there with this whole box full of romaine hearts and ate it. But I wasn't in the mood to sit down. Maybe I just haven't had time to sit there with a fork or whatever. But cut up veggies with dips is one of my favorites. It's one of your most nourishing, and you can fit so many things in there to support your organs and glands. And so those are great. And the wraps, that beautiful picture was taken by one of my VIP clients. Those roll-ups are so easy to do. They don't have to look pretty like that if you're just eating it for yourself. But I'll just put a whole bunch of stuff inside that leaf and roll it up. These are great nourishing lunches, and you can, like I said, you can put in the herbs and the seasonings and all that make the adrenals hum. And with dinner, my favorite is a blended soup. Again, large veggie salad, you can do it, omega-3 rich salad dressings, the seeds, all of that stuff. But I love putting stuff in the blender. I love steaming up some vegetables in the winter or just using them raw in the summer and putting them in the blender with some, with the steam water, with some coconut, with some spices, high spices especially. I never get tired of it. And I call it the big bowl. You can add chia seeds and it's just so dense, you know, it's so full of stuff. So the dinners, teach people, sit down with them. Give them handouts of ideas for people don't know. They wouldn't think about, well, I could just sit down and eat a bunch of veggies with a dip, and that's a dinner. That was my dinner last night, and it's oftentimes my lunch, too. This was the healing elixir. It's so easy to make these elixirs. Just do it. Just do it, do it, do it. This one is delicious, and it works. I don't always make it exactly, and sometimes I go, ooh, why didn't I make it exactly? Because now does I just throw stuff in without measuring? It really does help to measure, get the right balance. Are your herbs for adrenals? It's a really awesome document. It's called Adrenal Nutrition and Lifestyle Recommendations.pdf, and it has lists. So it has a list of all the nutrients for the adrenals, and it has a bunch of information about it. It has a list of all the herbs for the adrenals, and it has some information about how they work and how you take them and why. Right. But ashwagandha is a favorite. Wow, if they have adrenal and thyroid issues, ashwagandha is a great one to do, right? Licorice is amazing. You just have to watch for the blood pressure. It can raise the blood pressure. Leuthoropanax and Siberian ginseng are all the categories of we always call them the ginsengs, the different kinds of ginsengs. Very adaptogenic. They can go either way. They can be stimulating if the person needs stimulation, or they can be calming if the person doesn't. I remember I was listening to a tape, and it was by Aviva Ram, who was at the time just an herbalist, and now she went on to become an MD, and she's an MD herbalist. And she did that in her 40s. I really admire what she did. But anyway, I was listening to one of her tapes, and she said she used to do midwifery. So that was what she did mostly with her herbal practice, as she was a midwife. And she was in this birth, and she said the birth was just not, the labor wasn't progressing, and this woman was getting exhausted. And she was trying to help her so that she wouldn't just poop out and then have to have a C-section. So what did she do? She said, what herb can I give her? Should I give her an herb to help push her contractions along? Should I give her some stuff that's going to calm her down and let her sleep for a while? So she thought, and she gave her one of the ginseng. I don't remember which ginseng she gave her, but she did. And as a result of that, the woman fell asleep, slept for 3 hours, woke up, was able to deliver the baby in 20 minutes. So she allowed the herb to kind of do its thing in the body. And I know that sounds really woo-woo to people, and especially if you're coming from medicine, you know, well, how is an herb? It's just going to do what it does. It does what your body needs at the time. It's not like a drug. It's nourishment, and it'll support you where you need. And yes, I know it sounds a little woo-woo and all that, but it really does work that way. I've seen it over and over again. Some of my others, astragalus, really good, really gentle, also is an immune tonic at the same time. Devil's Club is an amazing one. Aplopanax is the word for it, and it's actually comes from the northwest and Oregon-ish, Oregon, Washington, and it's really good. It's good for blood sugar balance, but it's good for giving people a sense of power. It's like if you're feeling like you don't know how to stand up to people and you're not feeling confident in your relationships, it's a really great adaptogenic herb that will help you to just stand in your power. So it's a nice one. Codenopsis is like, they call it the poor man's ginseng. Codenopsis is it's a mushroom, I think. I think it's a mushroom. And, you know, maybe a root. I have some of it. I haven't made it because it's not a powder, so I don't add it to things. I have to make a decoction of it. But Codenopsis is got similar traits to ginseng. And they call it poor man's ginseng because it is about a fifth the price. Maca, you've all heard about. Maca has gotten a lot of popular press. It's a South American herb. A lot of men use it for increasing their virility, but it's very good tonic for the adrenals and also may have some estrogenic effects, you know, so effects on the female hormones as well as the male. So it definitely has results in that. So somewhere it's nourishing, I believe, that steroid access, you know, the where you've got the cortisol and the DHEA, and maca is helping to support that. Rhodiola is another one, really good. Now, rhodiola in large doses is calming and small doses is stimulating, opposite of what you would expect. So you have to be careful. If you're trying to give rhodiola to somebody to calm their adrenals down, and you just give them a little bitty dose, which sometimes we do when we're trying to test something, then, oops, not a good idea, because now they're going to be stimulated. So you have to make sure to give the right doses of that. All right, and then what else can I mention? Oh, pine pollen's amazing because it can actually increase your DHEA. And it's said to have some DHEA in it. I'm not sure that it actually does. You have to watch what people think that things have a certain constituent in it, but really it just boosts that. But pine pollen extract, really good. I've had people who had their tests done and they had low testosterone and low DHEA and gotten really tremendous results by using pine pollen extract. I got some from Raw Forest Foods. I would be careful about the one that they sell at Longevity Warehouse. I ordered some and sent it back because it said on the bottle that it may have traces of gluten. So I wasn't going to take my chances on that, so I sent it back. The one at Forest Foods doesn't say that, so I haven't had that as a, I haven't had a problem with it. So some of these other shilajit, very high in minerals, so it supports the nourishes the adrenals. Ginkgo opens up circulation to your brain, but in general opens up circulation to glands as well. Love Romania. I bought Romania as these little, they call them pancakes. They're little pieces. It's processed Romania, processed in some kind of black bean thing. But I just chew on them when I feel like, you know, I need to have some adrenal support. They're kind of like licorice, but some people don't like them, and I think if you don't like them, then you probably don't need them. For me, I just like it, and certain days it's like, that's enough, and other days I'm eating three or four of them because it feels like it's really nourishing my adrenals. Hoshawu, that one is overall endocrine tonic, so it can help the adrenals, the reproductive hormones, the thyroid. Cordyceps, my favorite little mushroom, Cordyceps reishi and chaga are adaptogenic mushrooms. You can get them in as extracts, or you can get the cordyceps you can get as a pure powder. Reishi is definitely an extract because reishi is this really thick, tough bark, really hard to eat, to grind. I've ordered big pieces of it and stuck it in the Vitamix, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't break down. It's very woody. So you need to extract the constituents, and you can do that by either doing a decoction and letting it cook for probably an hour or two because it's so hard, and then drinking the juice that comes out of it or using that as a basis for your soups and smoothies. Lemon balm and chamomile and hops are the calming adaptogens. They're the ones that you give people at bedtime. Passion flower just slows down the mind. It slows everything down. It helps you to just let go and go to sleep. And we could spend an hour on each of these herbs, and that's not the intent here, but it's an intent is to spark you with, oh, these are some of the herbs that are for the adrenals, and are these things I want to try and maybe, you know, experiment with on myself before I recommend people, and how can I incorporate them as food. So that's why I'm giving you that. So hormonal support for your adrenals. We're going to go through this, and then I'm going to take you step by step through how do you take the test and look at the outcome and then create a protocol for that. That's where I want to end with this. I really want you to understand how to create a protocol for people. This is the hormonal cascade, starting with cholesterol, going down to pregnenolone. Where you could intervene, and I think safely intervene, depending on the outcome of the test, would be pregnenolone, because you can increase the precursors. But again, I don't do these unless I will make one exception. I don't usually do this supplementation unless I've done a test. In the different stages, and we'll show you on the chart in a moment, but the different stages, you need different amounts. So say at the early stages, I guess stage one, you wouldn't want to give too much pregnenolone. You can give some and in the hopes that it goes down the DHEA side, but if you give too much, you're going to stimulate cortisol. So you have to be really careful. So maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8 drops 3 times a day would work for pregnenolone in a stage one, whereas in a stage three, you want to give them as much as they can tolerate. So you can start with 12 to 15 drops, and I've gone up from there. I've had people who've controlled their hot flashes by taking enough pregnenolone. And, you know, I know somebody who's a male who started taking more pregnenolone and had some really good results. So it just depends on where you're at. We have guidelines for the starting points, but you need to make a clinical judgment with people and help them to decide whether they need more. So that's that. The pregnenolone, DHEA, yeah, I'd rather just give people pregnenolone and let it go and get diverted. But if they're under a lot of stress and you give them a lot of pregnenolone, more of that pregnenolone is just going to go down to cortisol. So in that case, if their DHEA is low, I will definitely give them a little DHEA. Now, if you give too much DHEA, it will suppress the cortisol. So you don't want to give too much DHEA for somebody who's in stage 3 because their cortisol is already too low. Right, but if they're in stage 1, then you can give them more DHEA because if it's going to suppress their cortisol, that would be good. So you can give them a decent amount. You know, I don't like to give a lot of DHEA, especially to females. Males, it might be okay, but for females, if you give them too much DHEA, it can get converted down to what? What comes down? Testosterone. We don't want to spend too much time promoting testosterone. Of course, you have to go through testosterone to get to the estrogens, but you can go through just the androstenedione and get to the estrogen, or you can get it diverted to testosterone, and then less of it's really going to get converted to the estrogen. So it's really just, it's playing. I don't like to do the hormonal support. I only do it when it's severe and when people are, they show on their labs that they really, really need it, right? Or they've been resistant to, their body's been resistant to responding with just the herbs and the foods. So, and then glandulars. I don't do much in the way of glandulars, but glandulars would have the active tissue. So there's a Bezwecken product called Adrenocort that some of my colleagues love, swear by, and it's certainly good. I just prefer not to do animal products. I don't use that or recommend it unless somebody's already, you know, going that route. And then I'll say, you know what, maybe a glandular would be helpful. It's better than giving them cortisol. And in worst cases, some people actually are so depleted that they need a little bit of cortisol in physiologic doses. It's not like taking cortisone for when you have, like, an injury. Those levels of cortisone are really, really high, and they really depress your immune system, thin your muscular tissue, et cetera. But there's a book called The Safe Use of Cortisone, and it's using physiologic doses a little bit for those people who are flatlined, just to give them a jump start, as, you know, get them out of the toilet. Once they're out of the toilet, then you can give them some of the other things. So that's something you'd only be able to do with a prescription, unless you went with a glandular product, which might have some cortisol in it. But you have to be careful with the glandulars, because some people get hyperstimulated by them. You know, people are very sensitive, they've taken glandulars, and then they're just like, they're jittery wired, it's too much for them. So you have to be really careful and go with low doses, and then gradually build that up. Here's some doses. If you're going to be using the pregnenolone and they're in the alarm state, obviously you're not going to do anything in the alarm state because they're not depleted yet. In the alarm state, you might be doing some things like phosphatidylserine to calm them down, and you definitely would be looking at the lifestyle and their response to stress. The fatigue stage 1 is where the cortisol is high, remember, and the DHEA is low, so we're giving them a little bit of pregnenolone, but more of the DHEA, 4 drops 3 times a day. Now, each of these drops, I like the Biomatrix ones. It's 1.2 milligrams. You could use whatever if you have something else, but I like these. I found them to be effective. The pregnenolone, 6 to 8 drops 3 times a day. And then in stage 2, then you can have a little bit more pregnenolone because the cortisol is getting low. It's normal, but it's heading towards the getting low, so you're replenishing. And you lower the DHEA because the higher dose of DHEA may suppress the cortisol production. And then in stage 3, I would do 12 to 15 drops 3 times a day of the pregnenolone and only 2 drops of the DHEA because, again, we don't want to run the risk of the DHEA going in and suppressing the cortisol.